back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a fine guest joining us in just a few moments to talk about the contributions to the Great Lakes region from skilled immigrants. We're going to take a moment to get all of your many wonderful texts and phone calls in here. You all have been very patient. Thanks so much. Jack from Merrimack, you want to say what?
Well, Rick Smith has pointed this out on his show more than once. When you have appropriate taxes to corporations and the rich, they throw that money, they put that money into places where it's not going to be taxed. For instance, the big corporations will, instead of using it to support political candidates, which is not tax deductible, they'll put it into R&D. They may even put it into heaven's worker salaries. And there's so much extra money that these guys have that's not being taxed right now. They can throw it anywhere they want. And what they do is they use it to get all kinds of mischief into our politics. So a rich guy can throw $250 million into the presidential race and buy his way into the top spot in the administration, and he can even throw away, because it wasn't successful, $25 million into a statewide race, and not that high. That's
right.
Why we need to tax these guys.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Jack. And it's why you hear stock buybacks come up with such incredible frequency, right? Because what's happening is that as corporations, which have enjoyed post-COVID, some of their most flush, biggest profit margins, highest level of profits in modern American history, they're not driving that into R&D. They're not doing capital improvements. They're not paying their employees more. What it's going into, again, in many of our largest corporations, massive amounts in stock buybacks, which don't, again, do not benefit the frontline worker. It's pretty astounding. I'm trying to find one of my statistics on this. Give me one.
Yeah, Maggie, while you're looking at that,
yeah,
I'll
please,
also talk.
Tom,
I'll talk about return on investment of political contributions. I mean, I don't think anybody's tracking the stats, so to speak, but I'm sure the people who are giving, I mean, Elon Musk alone, right, $290 million
right,
to get potentially a $3.4 billion contract, and that's just one contract out of the many different contracts he could get. I mean, I think over and over again, you know, political contributions, people are taking a step back and going, the more I can give, obviously, the bigger windfall I can get.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Here's an example. Lowe's, which is Lowe's, you think of Ross Stores. These are all what I'm going to call low median worker pay companies, right? Lowe's spent $42.6 billion, with a B, billion dollars on stock buybacks.
Right.
This is enough to have given each of Lowe's employees, 285,000 employees, an annual $30,000 bonus
every
year for 5 years.
Right. And that money would have been immediately spent
and
returned right back into the economy. They would have bought a ton of stuff, probably from Lowe's.
From Lowe's? Who knew?
I don't know. Who knew?
Richard from Waukesha. Go ahead, sir.
I'd like to ask you again, when you said, you know, two things, and the second thing was about closing down the suicide line.
Oh,
what did you
yes.
say? The first thing was what?
Yes, that. Thanks so much for the reminder, Richard. I love it when our callers keep me on my toes.
Yes.
Some breaking news about Trump shutting down the national suicide hotline. That's lovely. Also, we're hearing from the Portuguese development minister that the power outage on the Iberian Peninsula, including Portugal and Spain, may be due to a cyber attack. Spain's prime minister asking people not to speculate. So a lot going on there. It looks quite concerning, to say the very least. Also hearing that apparently Oklahoma is going to now start that Donald Trump actually one, in their public schools, they'll be teaching this, that Donald Trump actually won the presidential election in 2020. So all those young, moldable minds in Oklahoma have that to look forward to. Ollie from the Northwoods, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into your schedule. I just wanted to ask about Tiffany, and he's trying to get a national park up by the Apostle Islands. And I'm concerned that if that goes through, Donald Trump had said something about drilling and stuff on federal lands. And wouldn't that then be considered a federal land, whereas he could drill for oil in the...
To your point, Ollie, national park designation ain't what it used to be. And I don't trust Tom Tiffany or Donald Trump more than I can, or as far as I can throw them, which ain't far. We'll take a look at that, Ollie. Thanks so much. And to cue up our discussion with our next guest, Tom from LA, you had some thoughts about Judge Dugan's arrest.
Yeah, first, Maggie, loved hearing you on Tom Hartman today. I hope that you appear on there more often. Second, love you and Tom on Monday, so thank you for that. You know, they almost act like they're trying to build this narrative that Judge Dugan was like trying to help someone through the Underground Railroad, the way that made this out to be, which is nothing like that whatsoever. But I think it's very interesting. I think it's to the public's awareness that this is not what happened. Also, if Republicans are spewing it, you can bet they're doing it. They act like the biggest victims of anyone. They're supposed to be a party of non-victims. They are the biggest victims of anyone I know. I hope everyone, and I really, really recommend this to everyone, go watch YouTube FDR speeches and learn something from it. This is the way the Democrats need to be talking, getting back to their roots. And last, Maggie, my question for you and Tom is, what is the correlation between Buckley versus Vallejo, First National Bank versus Bilotti, and Citizens United with the whole tax scheme that took place?
Yeah, great question, Tom. I'm going to save the discussion of our corruption laws, which yes. by that I mean to say our legalized corruption laws, courtesy of the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Listen, Buckley v. Vallejo was decided in 1976. It was the first time the Supreme Court basically said there's some categories of money in politics that can never be regulated in this country. It metastasized over 50 years, became Citizens United. But I guarantee you, everyone that's listening right now, I want you to pick a metric, pick a cod, any cod, a metric that you think reflects whether or not the middle class is doing well. And I want you to look at that metric on a line chart. And I want you to notice what happens to that metric from 1976 to date, whether it's income inequality, wealth inequality, average hourly wages, and whether it keeps up with inflation, CEO to worker pay ratio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll tell you, how about this, union membership, all those things. Since 1976 and accelerating after Citizens United, all of the metrics that track how well the middle class in this country is doing have gotten worse. Much worse. And it's because we legalized corruption courtesy of the Supreme Court and Buckley v. Vallejo, and it's only gotten worse. We're going to have to move on, folks. If you are on the lines, I appreciate you for being there. Don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow. We can do this all again. Let me bring on my very special next guest. Thank you so much, Gina Krause Villemar, President and CEO of Upwardly Global, for your patience. This is an incredibly important discussion. Those who are here working, immigrants, contribute, they pay taxes, they are an absolutely critical part of our economy. Tell us, when we look at the Great Lakes region, skilled immigrants, refugees and asylees, these people that have the right to work here are essential to continue our region's growth, are they not?
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of confusion when people think about the word immigrant, because there has been this association that being an immigrant means that you're not documented. And the reality is that the story of America has always been a story of immigrant journeys. And this is merely the latest chapter of that story. And in reality, we're in a demographic shift in this country, and the Great Lakes is experiencing it just like the rest of us are. You know, there are 10,000 baby boomers retiring a day. Not everyone has returned into the economy post-COVID. And by 2035, 100% of growth in our working age population is going to come from immigrants and the children of immigrants, because we are not having as many kids as we used to have. And so it's not even a question of, are immigrants helping to fuel and contribute? It's more of a question of, immigrants are fueling our economy, but they're also going to fuel our future. And so we should stop asking ourselves who should be allowed in and actually talk about how do we help set people up for success once they get here.
Folks, that is Gina Krause-Vilmar, president and CEO of Upwardly Global. How do we change the dialogue, right? How do we help break through all of this noise? Because right now, you know, if conservatives are saying DEI, that's the modern N-word. If you're saying immigrant, what it means is a violent criminal who doesn't work, right? Any semblance of normalcy in our use of language seems to have been blown out of the water. How do we make sure people are actually getting the information that is accurate about how, if you are a citizen, you're born and raised here, your family's been here for five generations, your economic future is inexorably tied to whether or not we have a vibrant and growing workforce, and that requires immigrants.
I think part of it is reframing the conversation around how do we unlock our collective genius as a nation, and how do we ensure that we understand that our immigration stories and immigrants are a part of that collective genius. In the state of Wisconsin, for example, 18% of the population, the foreign-born population grew by 18%. There are five states in the United States that have increased the number of immigrants moving to those states, and Wisconsin is one of the five. Mm. And so they're also contributing in an outsized way to what we call taxes, right? You just mentioned companies are not paying taxes, and yet immigrants are paying $3 billion, big B to your point, in taxes. $1.1 billion is going to states and local contributions. And so our local economies, especially in rural areas, if you're thinking about rural areas, for every immigrant that moves into a rural area, they generate 1.5 new jobs. Wow. They are part of the revitalization story of our rural economies. And yet that's not a story we're telling, but that's a story people are living day in and day out.
Yes.
People know that, people see that, people feel that.
Folks, that is Gina Krause-Vilmar, president and CEO of Upwardly Global. Gina, can you come back with us? We're gonna take care of a little bit of business, and I wanna flesh out this conversation so people can absorb what you're saying, Gina. It's so important, some really key facts there. We got Tom Paulswitz with me in the guest co-host chair. My name's Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. How many jobs are created where you live when an immigrant moves into town? We'll discuss that and so much more next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.